On Sunday, March 6th at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl presents organist, pianist, vocalist, composer, and member of the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians, AACM, Amina Claudine Myers. Join us as we learn a little bit about Amina Claudine Myers and her relationship to her gospel roots. That's Sunday, March 6th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. Jumping in the sugar bowl, jump, jump, jump.
I want a little sugar in my bowl. I want a little sweetness down in my soul. I could stand some loving, oh, so bad. I feel so funny, I feel so sad. I want a little steam on my clothes. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I need some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl.
You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of the program of which you are listening. My name is Joyce Jones, and our guest for this evening is vocalist, pianist, organist, Amina Claudine Myers. Stay tuned. Sugar in My Bowl, coming up now.
Soothe me, I want some sugar in my bowl. Steam on my clothes. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar.
Hi, my name is Joyce Jones, and I'm on the line with
Amina Claudine Myers.
Amina Claudine Myers, thank you so much for joining Sugar in My Bowl.
You're welcome.
As a matter of fact, we're going to open the show with Jumping in the Sugar Bowl.
Jumping in the sugar bowl, jump, jump, jump. 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 Sugar bowl, jump, 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 jumping in the sugar bowl, jump, 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 jumping in the sugar bowl, jump, jumping in the sugar bowl, jump, jump, jump. jumping in the sugar boat, jump, 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 jumping in the sugar boat. Jumping in the sugar boat, jump, 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 jumping in the sugar boat. Jumping in the sugar boat, jumping in the sugar boat. Jumping in the sugar bowl, jump, 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 jumping in the sugar bowl, jump, 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 jumping in the sugar bowl, jump, 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 jumping in the sugar bowl, jump, jump, jump. Jumping in the sugar bowl, jump, 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 jumping in the sugar bowl, jump, 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 jumping in the sugar bowl, jump, 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 jumping in the sugar bowl, jump, jump, jump. In the sugar bowl, jump, 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 jumping 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 in the sugar bowl, jumping in the sugar bowl, jumping in the sugar bowl, jump, jump, jump.
Okay, I thought about that when I saw the title of the show.
Where did that come from, Jumping in the Sugar Bowl?
Well, it came from a game that we played as kids in Blackwell, Arkansas.
Uh-huh. That's your birthplace?
Yes.
Could you tell me about life in Blackwell, Arkansas?
Well, it was very, very good. I appreciate it now, the older I get. Blackwell's population, no one has ever been able to tell me what the population was. I just picked a figure, 250.
Wow.
I don't know if it was that many, but we had the railroad track, which ran through the town, Hamlet, and the trailway bus came through there, not the Greyhound. My grandmother had a garden. I remember the sunflowers out surrounding the garden, and she also had cows. My grandfather worked on the railroad, and my great aunt and uncle who raised me, we had chickens. Grandmother had chickens also, and we had a garden. And I think we also had, later on, a bull. For the kids, we played. We had all kinds of fruit in the summertime, blackberries. I remember especially plums and peaches. We just played outdoors barefooted. We walked to school. In Arkansas, we had red clay.
Uh-huh.
And we would get stuck sometimes going to school with the boys with the clay. I think it was about maybe a mile walking to school. And my great aunt was a school teacher. My great uncle, by marriage, had gone to Tuskegee around 1907. I have a picture of him on the wall here. He played there was a clarinet on the ground, and he was really a musician. He loved to sing. He was Baptist. My great aunt was Methodist. I came up in the Methodist church. But my uncle, he's the one that started me on music by tapping my foot and marching around the room to the count of four. There was a piano in the house. Nobody played the piano, but I tried to. My play aunt would come. She played Talk of the Town. I tried to play the little chorus. I started taking music lessons from the Catholic church in a nearby town called Marlton, Arkansas, which was about 7 miles going toward Little Rock, which was 50 miles from Blackwell. I started piano lessons around 6. They were white Catholic school and church. And I remember the nuns, very, very nice. I remember taking lessons there. Then in the summer, my great uncle passed away. He named me Spotlight.
Why was that?
Because when I was born, a lot of people wanted to come and see this child my mother had.
Huh.
So he said I was like a spotlight.
Okay.
My great aunt remarried a man in Dallas, Texas. And my mother was in Louisville, Kentucky. There then, it still is. And my great aunt asked me, did I want to go to Dallas, Texas? Because I want to go live with my mother. She stated, if I go live with her, there was an indoor toilet and a grocery store.
Oh, wow. That sounds luxurious.
I know. I said, I want to go with you. And sure enough, my uncle had a grocery store, a little tiny store, and sold cigarettes in a machine. And every day as I got older, I would take Mr. Goodbar and Hershey Bar to school. Every day. But I asked him for something in the store. Of course, I could always have it. And I would say, thank you. He said, where can I cash that? So when I got to Texas, I continued piano lessons. There was one lady, I can remember in sixth grade, she had me playing hymns. And I thought, just playing hymns. But that was one of the greatest things. I respected that now as I got older, because they were hard, you know, and I couldn't play that well. She had a large clock she put on the piano. We had lessons up at the Baptist church. It was 15-minute lessons, and the clock would be sitting on the piano, you know, one of those wind-up clocks. In the meantime, I went to Kentucky one year, since fifth grade there. I was taking violin and piano.
Wow.
That was in the schools. Miss Hyde, she'd give you a gold star, you know, on the... So my mother said, you're going to have to choose. I can't afford violin and piano.
Mm.
So what do you want to take? So I said violin.
Oh.
Also in the school, there was a small band. Teacher Percy had me on drums. We played drum pads. And I wasn't thrilled with that. So then he put me on the tuba.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And actually, the tuba, they're not hard.
Okay.
The larger the brass instrument, the mouthpiece is larger. So
got
after
it.
I got to college and stuff, we had to play all the instruments. We didn't have a percussion section and a string section, but brass and woodwinds. Trumpet, I couldn't do that with trumpet. Mouthpiece was so small. So trombone became my instrument in college. But just to study theory and all that and be able to play those instruments. So in Texas, when I was about 11 years old, I started playing in a church, playing hymns and things like that. In the Baptist church where they had all the activities, the Methodist church was a small church. And we didn't have a lot of members. And my great uncle, who was a member of the Baptist church, during Halloween, you know, he had those parties up at the church. And he was very generous with the kids, having things for the kids. The church would do plays. I was always put in the Easter play, the Christmas play. They gave me the narration part because it was a lot of words, you know, and I learned my lines. So these church women, they decided to put a group of us together, singers, girls. So we started singing. And we would emulate the gospel guys, quartets. When I was in Blackwell, the quartets come around to the churches. First, it used to be like four, but then they added a guitar, and they would snap their thighs to keep rhythm. So in the early 50s, we tried this in Dallas, Texas. We started singing a cappella. And then some way, it developed into me playing the piano, and I started teaching the songs to the girls. And there were about seven of us, and other young ladies played piano also. And the core group was about four or five of us. The core group sang all the time, and then, you know, some of the other girls come up and sing. And we traveled around Dallas.
Thank you.
Then I started taking piano lessons from a gentleman who ended up being at Jefferson City, a university there. So I started playing Chopin and all those. He was very advanced, and I advanced rapidly. And I would always try to play little pop songs and things, be on a talent shows. So then my great aunt and uncle decided to move back to Arkansas. This is around 57. And, of course, I rebelled against that because I was a sophomore in high school and started getting involved in musical things there. And the music teacher in the second high school I went to, she would take me to church, different places where they had concerts, because these are black artists used to come to the churches to sing, classical singers and musicians. And that's when I heard the great Philippa Scalia. I remember I was 14, and she came out, and someone had given her flowers, and she set them right on the side of the piano. And she played some of her compositions. So some people may refer to that as avant-garde now. It was just wonderful. I went down to the basement to see her, and she was sitting in a chair with all her books in her lap. And all the church women, they were all standing around her in circles. People were hesitant to say anything to her because she was very, very reserved. And so I said, I enjoyed it. She said, thank you, with a smile, then went back into that look that she had.
The reserved look.
Yeah, I was very impressed. When I was in high school, I was a pianist for the choir in Dallas. So then we moved back to Arkansas, and I co-founded a group, tried to emulate what we had in Dallas, Texas. So I found these young ladies, and they were, it was four of us, called the Gospel Four, and then we were the Royal Hearts.
Now, wait a minute. I read somewhere that in your sophomore year, you started playing in the Safari Room.
Now, that was in college.
Okay.
I got some scholarships. In fact, the Gospel Four and the Royal Heart, we decided we weren't going to sing rhythm and blues anymore. We were going to sing only for God. That lasted half a day. I remember opening up for the Staples Singers. Came to Menifee, Arkansas. Pop Staples broke his guitar string. So we had already opened for them. And then while he was fixing the guitar string, they asked us to sing. And so the people, y'all sound as good as the Staples Singers. When I got to college, I tried to form a group to emulate the Gospel Four, the Royal Hearts, called the Satinas. But the Satinas, we didn't last long. They weren't like the group in Arkansas, because the young ladies in Arkansas could sing. They could switch parts, you know, tenor, soprano, and alto. Then I went to major in music education with piano. I was going to be a concert pianist, so I thought. But I did not have the discipline. And everybody kept telling me I had the jazz. Basically, that's the kind of voice I had, you know, rhythm and blues. Being a classical pianist, you need to practice 8 to 9 hours a day.
Right.
I could barely practice. So the major professor, head of the music department, put me in the jazz band because during the prom in the springtime, they go travel around Arkansas and play for the prom. And I learned to play the blues. Then I became a member of the choir. First, I was the assistant musical director in the college choir because they had a wonderful pianist. And she didn't graduate until, I think, 2 years later. The choir was like about 34 singers, and we would do European classical as well as American classical. But the second part of the program was always Negro spirituals. To make money for the college, Philander Smith College in Little Rock, it was a private Methodist college. We made money by touring. We'd go to Kansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, even Chicago. Never got to New York. They had been in New York before I became a member. And so the choir director also played in the nightclub, the blues on the organ. He was a master with the pipe organ and a master in music, period. Besides the 34 members, he had the octet. And I was in the octet. Then he had a quartet. And I was in the quartet. So we stand on risers, but the real strong singers been on that back row. And he had us singing in quartet form, bass, tenor, alto, soprano. But then at the second half, we formed all sopranos out in the same section. It was a strong choir. It was beautiful. We had choir rehearsals every day, of course, during school, and we had sectional rehearsals.
Right.
And I was a pianist for that. And after I graduated, I went to Chicago because tall school, that was the way a lot of us went. And my great aunt, there was nothing happening in Blackwell. Blackwell was, in fact, Blackwell now is dying out. But it's a beautiful community because outside at night, no moon, sometimes you can see all the stars in the sky. Know, just smell of the earth when it rained. I think about those when I do this song I wrote called Country Girl.
Duncan. structure, you can play in any key. Take me to the river. Take me to the sea. Take me to the valley. Because he lives in Brooklyn, so he knows about the country. Where they played in the country too. Now Reggie's going to show you how they play the drums in the country. You know, he's from Chicago. He's excited about living in New York. me see the hands of all of you that's from the country. Isn't this the country? I'm talking about the kind of country where it is so dark you have to pipe in daylight. The kind of country where you can walk barefooted down the road. You just walk, just stroll like this. Just because you don't want to step on any snakes. You just walk. The kind of country where you can smell the earth after it rains. The kind of country where you have chickens in the backyard with the hen house. You have a shed back there. You have some barrels on the side of the house so that you can collect the rainwater when it rains. I want the kind of country where I can jump in a wagon and ride the wagon down the road, where I can ride the horses, take the cows to the pasture in the morning and bring them home in the evenings. You know, the cows wear a bell around their necks so that you can find them, because they wander everywhere. I want to see some snakes. Okay, no snakes. I want a garden with lettuce, tomatoes, potatoes, green beans, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, greens, turnip greens, mustard greens, collard greens. I want some watermelon. You know, we have to have watermelon. I want to see the stars at night. You know, you have the Big Dipper, you have the Little Dipper, you have the In-Between Dipper. I've seen it. Have you seen it? You've seen it. He's seen them. It's true. In the kind of country I'm talking about, where everybody's very friendly. They speak to you. You don't have to worry about locking the doors. I want to see a hickory tree, a pecan tree, a black walnut tree, apple tree, peach tree, pear tree. I don't want to hear any noise pollution, air pollution. I don't want any cable cars. I don't want subways, subway tokens. I don't want color TV. I don't even want cable. I don't want to see a delicatessen. I don't want bagels. But I'll take a Mercedes. German chocolate cake. Yeah. Reggie Nicholson on percussion. This is Jerome Harris on bass. And I'm Olivia Claudine Myers.
It was just the neighbors, the quilting bee. They come over to the house, the women, when I was small, you know, quilt in our house, and they go to somebody else's house and have this big quilting thing set up in the dining room somewhere with ladies with quilts.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the hog killing time, you get the sausages. I used to love the pork sausage.
Okay.
But I don't eat any of that now. And people to share, you know, pecans, and canning.
Like peaches and everything.
Yes.
That can be canned.
And then if you get sick, they give you that castor oil.
Oh, God,
that
yes.
That was some of the most horrible things. And they put sugar in it.
Oh, did you? Oh, my goodness. We had to take it straight.
I took it straight and with sugar. They both were horrible. It's a sweetheart. But, you know, those were just happy days.
Sure.
Blackwell and all the white people would come over to the church to hear the quartet singers.
Oh, okay.
And the black men, they didn't come in the church, the young black men. You know, you could drive the cars up on the church ground, and they sit in the car with one of the suspenders hanging off, and they sit in the car, the doors be open. Nobody be talking. They'd be all out. Those images, you know, the music just drew everybody. So that was my experience in Blackwell. And when I got to college, went graduated and decided to be a teacher, because my girlfriend's mother convinced my great aunt to make me come to Chicago. So I went there and applied for a teaching position, and they said they had nothing available. But my girlfriend, we went together. She was in communication, so she got a job. And I was walking down the street trying not to cry, feeling sorry for myself. I didn't know what I was going to do. And my play aunt, my mother's best friend, was living there. And that's who I was living with. But then I moved into a studio apartment where all the furniture was nailed to the wall. You know?
Oh, my goodness.
And they called me and they said, Miss Myers, we have a job for you, temporary syrup. It was 5 minutes from my house.
Wow.
And so I would go there and I would ask the principal. I was a music teacher. I had a certificate to teach in high school.
Oh, okay.
High school instrumental music. But this came up as music teacher for junior high, seventh and eighth graders. I went down and I asked the principal every day, should I come back? Until finally she said, you keep coming back until I tell you not to come back.
No sweat.
So I was there for 6 years until I resigned in 1969.
Okay.
Then I became a member of the AACM around 1965.
Somewhere that someone named
Ajirama?
Yes, Gerald Donovan.
Yeah,
you want to tell me about him?
Yes, when I was teaching school, I used to go out with this young man who was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful photographer. And he was just the opposite. He wanted to play cooler drums. And he invited me to go out with him one night over on the west side of Chicago. And I went, and he told the family that I could play. I didn't want to play. I never did seek out trying to play. So I played the blues on the organ. And the band leader fired his musician and hired me. Then another guy hired me from this man named Cozy Eggleston. And then Ajiramu heard me, and Ajiramu formed the Gerald Donovan Trio. His name was Joseph Shelton, but he changed to Gerald Donovan.
Oh, and then he changed it to Ajiramu.
Yes, he said it meant a drummer. It's a name he made up.
Okay.
He named me Amina. He gave a lot of us African names because we wanted to show our identity.
Sure.
To me, Claudine is French, which I like Claudine because my mother heard somebody, a little girl named Claudine. That's how I got the name Claudine.
Oh, okay.
And then Myers is Jewish.
Okay.
German,
yes.
Jewish. So Amina, you know, shows my African heritage.
Got it.
But I didn't use it at first. I used it for my group, Amina and Company, and people started calling me Amina when I was in Chicago in the early 70s, late 69, 70. So since they were calling me Amina, they'd have Amina Myers, and I didn't like that. It's Amina or either Amina Claudine Myers or Amina C. Myers, but I didn't want to leave out Claudine. I told my mother I love that name, too. You know, I would never drop that name. And so Ajiramu, he knew Gene Ammons and Sonny Stitt. So first we started playing with Sonny Stitt. In about 6 months. And then in the meantime, we've been AACM, and there we were required to do our own music. And we did concerts and stuff, and that's when I found out that other members were painting and drawing and writing poetry and just everything was happening. And so Sonny Stitt was looking for an organ player, and he had Billy James on drums and Don, that's the same, I can't think of his last name, one of the musicians on organ. So positions were open for organ drums. That's how we got with Sonny Stitt. And then Gerald Gene Ammons was looking for an organ. And he had other organ players, but something happened, and so I went to play. He heard me play. Well, I became a member of the band through Ajiramu.
Oh, okay.
So then Gene Ammons and Sonny Stitt, they started doing the Battle of the Saxes with Rossard, Roland Kirk, Dexter Gordon.
Wow.
We toured. We came to New York about 3 times with Gene Ammons, Club Baron up in Harlem. So I learned from both of them.
Thank you.
And you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Sugar My Bowl is the name of this program. My name's Joyce Jones, and our guest for this evening is Amina Claudine Myers. What you're listening to right now is Happiness from Amina. Amina Claudine Myers, a 1988 BMG Novus release. We have Jerome Harris on bass, Reggie Nicholson on drums, Bola Adwo on talking drums and percussion, Ray Mantia on bongos and percussion, former Sugar guest Catherine Russell on background vocals, and David Peaston also on background vocals. Before that, we heard Unchange. That's Muhal Richard Abrams, a 1980 Black Saint Records release from Spihumosity. Yeah, when we used this during the AACM show, I wasn't sure how to pronounce it then. Not quite certain now, but Muhal Richard Abrams is the composer. He's on piano and synthesizer. Jay Clayton on voice. George Lewis on trombone, sousaphone, synthesizer. Roscoe Mitchell on alto saxophone and flute. Amina Claudine Myers on piano, electric piano, and organ. And Yusef Yancey on theremin. Before that, we heard Country Girl. And that's from Women in Emotion. That's Amina Claudine Myers Trio. And this is a Radio Bremen 1988 release. We have Amina Claudine Myers on vocals and piano, Jerome Harris on electric bass, and Reggie Nicholson on drums. Before that, we heard First Sunday, Amina Claudine Myers from In Touch, her 1989 BMG Novus release. Amina Claudine Myers on vocals, piano, organ, synthesizer. Jerome Harris on bass, guitar, vocals. Reggie Nicholson on drums and percussion. Flair Funson also on drums and percussion. Pete Levin, he's responsible for the synthesizer programming, and Jason Mills is responsible for additional synthesizer programming. Before that, after our theme from Nina Simone, we opened the interview with Jumpin' in the Sugar Bowl, Amina Claudine Myers Trio, and that is also from Women in Emotion. And as I mentioned, we opened our program with our theme from Nina Simone, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl, the very best of Nina Simone. Sugar in My Bowl, 1967-1972. This is an RCA BMG compilation that was released in 1998. It was originally recorded in 1967. Stay tuned for On the Bandstand with our associate producer, Hank Williams. And we'd like to thank everyone who has pledged their support to WBAI during this past winter drive. We really appreciate your assistance, and we hope that you continue to listen to WBAI. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Sugar My Bowl continues.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for March 6th. This segment features aerial listings of Sugar and My Bowl guests so you can see them live. This week's guest is vocalist and pianist Amina Claudine Myers. She has no immediate area shows, but we'll keep you posted. However, we have lots more music for you this week. We start with drummer and percussionist Bobby Sanabria, who leads Quartetto Ace in two lunchtime performances at New Jersey Performing Arts Center in Newark on March 6th. You can also catch them at Stamford, Connecticut's Palace Theater on the 18th. The Mavis Staples documentary, Mavis, appears on HBO on the 7th at 11:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and on HBO's streaming until April 3rd. The documentary film, Bad Sonia Sanchez, airs nationally on PBS affiliates on the 8th. Check your local listings for rebroadcasts and other program details. Drummer Roy Haynes is at Blue Note from the 10th to 13th for a 91st birthday celebration with guitarist Pat Metheny as a special guest. Bassist Mimi Jones is at the Pregonis Theater in the Bronx on the 12th. Drummer Will Calhoun is at Iridium, also on the 12th, with Vernon Reed's Power Trio. Looking ahead, bassist William Parker is at the Stone on the 16th with Angelica Sanchez. Vocalist Tana Alexa leads a group at the Jazz Standard on the 16th with drummer Antonio Sanchez. Pianist Harold Mayburn is at Smalls on the 16th and celebrates his 80th birthday at Smoke from the 18th to the 20th with special guests vocalist Kurt Elling on the 18th and bassist Bob Cranshaw on the 20th. Pianist Vijay Iyer has a residency at the Met Museum's new Breuer Building, that's the former Whitney Museum, from the 18th to the 31st, and will be performing or curating performances during all of the museum's open hours. Pianist Michelle Rosewoman is at the Cell Theater on the 19th. Saxophonist Lakeisha Benjamin is at the New York Public Library's Schomburg Center for a Women's History Month jazz program on the 21st. Finally, also at the Schomburg Center, is film director Carol Bash for a daytime talk and screening of her Mary Lou Williams documentary film, The Lady Who Swings the Band, on the 23rd. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, full listings are on our blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog, where you'll also find reviews, features, and jazz news. And Sugar is spelled S-U-G-A. And if you're on Twitter or Facebook, look for us there too. Playlists and audio from this and previous shows are also on our website. If you like what we do, please help WBAI stay on the air by pledging whatever you can and consider becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge as we wrap up this fall fund drive. See the Support WBAI link on our website to find out more. This is Hank Williams signing off with our bi-weekly schedule. We're off the air next week, but we'll have updated event listings online and be back on WBAI on Sunday, March 20th. Either way you connect, we'll see you next time on The Bandstand.
Also, don't forget, tomorrow at the Schomburg at 7 p.m., Toshi Regan starts her curated Women in Jazz Festival series that's happening there, and they're opening with a Sacred Revolution where the performances will honor Mavis Staples, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, and Mahalia Jackson. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org. On the web, Sugar My Bowl continues.
This is Bobby Humphrey. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
Sonny Stitt would never have any music, but he tell you to listen. Hear stuff in your head. We have to rehearse it, then 4 months later, he called a song, and I forgot the song. listen, what he said. His grandmother was named Claudine. I think it was his grandmother.
Oh, okay.
Sonny didn't use any paper at all.
Right.
And Judd didn't either, but he wrote a few little tunes.
Oh, okay.
You know, they from that school where you had to listen and learn. And see, I didn't know anything about going to the store. I was kind of naive, getting the songs and trying to learn the songs. And see, in Chicago, we had those jam sessions. I did not like to play jam sessions on the organ, too.
Why?
Because I didn't know the songs.
Oh.
And all the things you are.
Uh-huh.
I mean, songs, I just say, oh, I hate to play this. But they had some organ players like Eddie Buster and Bobby Buster.
Oh.
They were, I mean, fabulous organists. They were brothers. And there was Odell Brown with the organizers. He came from Louisville, Kentucky. And they were contemporary. And they really, I loved the way he played. Jimmy Smith, of course. Jack McDuff.
Yes.
And I love Jack McDuff. Because, you know, McDuff could make the organ curse.
he could say,
I learned how to do that. He had Joe Dukes on drums. But McDuff was something. And he was beautiful. I took a lesson with Jimmy Smith.
Really?
And I listened to him play the organ for an hour. And I wanted to say, let me try it. But I was kind of, didn't speak up. And then after an hour on the organ, then he went to the piano and played for another hour.
Wow.
He was a master on the piano, too.
Oh.
Jimmy Smith. He came to hear us at the Hungry Eye. That's where we played, down the streets in the Plug Nickel in Old Town on Whale Street in Chicago. And we were playing Coltrane's Impressions. We were playing it very fast. And I looked in the audience and saw Jimmy Smith. And when I saw him sit in the audience, I got off the tempo.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I got off horribly.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Did you find your way back?
I found my way back on the end.
Oh, okay.
And Jimmy said, well, the main thing is you got back on before the ending.
Wow.
So then we heard that Coltrane came to town. So we got off at 1 o'clock. And we went to the Plug Nickel. Alice was with him, Jack and Jeanette.
Oh, okay.
I think it was Jack and Elvin. I'm not sure. Hmm. But Coltrane had played the head of the tune. It was my favorite thing.
Okay.
And Alice had taken her solo. Roscoe was sitting in, Roscoe Mitchell.
Oh.
Pharoah Sanders had about 50 mouthpieces laying on the floor. And we were sitting up in there with our eyes closed. It was just music. Everybody was sitting up there just rocking with their eyes closed.
Wow.
The club closed at 5 o'clock, and the people were blinking the lights, the club owners, for Coltrane to stop playing.
By the way, was Alice Coltrane playing either piano or organ?
No, it was piano.
Okay.
See, we must have got there by 1:30, 1:30, 2:30, 3:30. See, it was like over 2 hours. I'm not sure.
Wow.
Now, and Roscoe was looking. His eyes was, he was just on another level, just spiritually. He's very modest in speaking, but Roscoe is one of my favorite musicians. Anything you play, he plays it. Anything. And he takes it seriously and dedicated to whatever you're doing and whatever he's doing. Then I had the opportunity to play with Eddie Harris.
Oh, wow.
That was, for 2 weeks, that was one of the best gigs I ever had. This
okay.
was like in the 70s,
okay.
the middle 70s. And Eddie, this was Listen Here was out.
Yeah.
But Eddie was very sensitive to me playing. See, I learned about programming music with all three of them, because Sonny Stitt, he called the blues, in B-flat. Then the second number was another blues in B-flat. I thought, dang. Then the third, it was a blues in D-flat. Then the fourth was the blues in F. And at that time, I said, this son is being lazy or something. You know, I mean, in my mind, you can't be somebody else's mind. Later on, I appreciated that because you had to be creative and different in each key.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that's the way I looked at it finally. But that was an experience. But they all had excellent with programming. Jug programmed his music and also with Eddie Harris. So this one night, we had a gig in another place. I know this gig was for a week at this club. But the last gig I had with him, it was toward the end of the night. Nobody was in there. They were getting ready to close. And, you know, this song, it's like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I can't think. Anyway, it's usually B-flat. I was playing organ, of course, with all of them. And we talking about fumbling because he played it in the key of B. And B, technically, is not an easy key to play in. It's not like playing it in B-flat.
What makes it not easy?
Because you have the black and white keys and the fingering and the technical playing in those keys can be complicated. If you're not familiar, you have to practice in all the keys. See, Eddie had told me, he said, learn to play the blues in every key. And he was right. Now, if you play E-flat minor, that's all black keys practically. You know, you throw in some white keys. G-flat, that's not hard. But B, because you got the black and white keys, it's a tricky key. to play in if you're not up on your instrument. I mean, they practice chords and all the keys and soloing and all the keys and stuff. And Eddie had told me that, but he played that so fast in the key of B. I said, Eddie, that was in B. He said, oh, I thought that was B flat.
Oh, no.
Knowing good and well. But see, I'm naive. Like, I don't have sense enough to know he did it on purpose. But
right.
He did not do it to embarrass me.
Right.
He did it to show me.
Sure.
But there was nobody in the club. Nobody was in there. They put the seats up on the table.
Oh, okay.
You know. decided to leave Chicago because I had resigned from teaching school. I was becoming dissatisfied with what was going on. They start taking the Board of Education teachers. We know a lot of paperwork the teachers had to do and stuff.
Yeah.
They took out the music, the band. We had a band and instruments. I used to have a cello. I take a cello home with the assistant principal. He let me take a cello home. If I hadn't taken it back to school, I could have still had that cello because they locked up the instruments for years. They took out the band program.
Right.
So after resigning from teaching, I played with George and Lynn and Sonny, and then after 3 years, I started hearing music differently. By being a member of the AACM, it opened up my hearing that I could create, that I could write songs, and that what I wrote didn't have to be like, it was my expression, it was accepted. And I started hearing different things. I kind of want to do my own thing.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I guess it was more of a learning experience being a side person, a side man, but are you more intrigued with your own projects than playing side?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm doing stuff with Archie Shepp now.
Great.
Do projects with other people, yes.
Mm-hmm.
As long as that, now it can be frustrating if you're not able to do your own thing, but your self-expression is the best, I think. You play with others and you get ideas and you hear it. It's a constant growing experience in doing projects with other people, but it's nothing like doing your thing.
Yeah, and there was a lot of that while you were with AAC, or as you've been with AACM.
Yes, because, you know, everybody's creative and they have their own creativity. That's well respected, that it's a place for it. And the AACM gives you that opportunity to do your own thing, because I wasn't writing. When I became a member of the AACM, I saw people doing all kinds of things, writing music and painting. I found out I could paint. I started doing little pencil drawings and little painting and poetry and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's open to creativity. It's been nothing like it. It was like I say this all the time, a beehive of activity. Plays, people writing plays, and, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Sure.
So when I came to New York, there was the loft. Everybody was doing things in the loft. I remember one night I made $6.25 for a group of musicians. I don't know how I made it first, but with the help of friends, you know, living somewhere, I ran out of money. And I stayed with Eddie Moore, the drummer, who's a friend of Audrey Ramos.
Okay.
I got ready to move to New York. I said, I'm going to New York or California. First, I went to California, played with Johnny Taylor.
Really?
Soul Lady.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
My.
I played with him one night.
Okay.
Saw Abbott Lincoln at a club.
Oh.
You know. But California is a whole different kind of vibe, as you know. When I first came to New York, I was kind of scared of New York. You know, people down there slug, down there in Lower East Side.
Oh.
I said, you have to have a lot of money to live in New York. And people looking in the windows, you know, with the pillows on the windowsill, they'd be sitting in the window looking out. That was strange to me.
Oh.
Well, Chicago was strange. The buildings close together, you know,
right.
No intermission, no breaks.
Right.
The buildings. But like I said, you know, I'm from a little town where we had cows.
Right. Wide open spaces.
Yeah. We used to go get grandmother, let us go get the cows. We used to bring the cows home.
Uh-huh.
My cousin, she wasn't scared. She looked barefooted. You know, the cows would drift off. We had to go in the woods, you know, across the dark space in where the trees were.
Wow.
We had to go through that dark space. The cows would be on the other side near the bells. We had to gather them up. My grandfather, we rode the horses bareback. There's no saddle. And my grandfather had two horses. Charlie and Daddy. We ride Daddy, though. I don't know what happened to Charlie. Yeah, Chicago was strange. Those apartment buildings close together with hardly no breaks. And then I got to New York. I said, oh. But then when I decided to move here for good in 1976, I was ready for it then. When I took my little retirement money.
From when you retired from being a teacher.
Yes. And my great aunt had passed away and left me with $1,000.
Oh, boy.
I bought me a Hammond organ and drug that up to New York. I still have it. I don't travel with it now, though. Of course, never when I moved out of my home. I was determined when I came up here to find them. And this is where I am today.
As far as playing piano and organ, is there a big difference for you?
Yes.
You want to share what that's like?
Well, piano, there are things with the piano that you could, of course, you know, the sounds, everything that you could never do. It's very beautiful things that you can do with the piano. I like the organ because of the rhythmic possibilities, you know, with the foot and the left hand and the right hand, and the sounds you can get, and the beautiful sounds and stuff. But the organ is challenging, too, as far as rhythmic playing. But there's so many possibilities. And then I'm into the pipe organ, too, with recitals.
Oh, okay.
That's a different kind of approach than playing, say, an electric organ, more jazz-orientated. But I do some jazz things on the pipe organ.
Okay.
But basically, yes, it's a big difference because you find a lot of organ players don't play the piano, but a lot of piano players can't play the organ. But you need to put time into the organ. And some people have a natural feel for it, and then others don't. I guess that's with anything. But they say, which one do you like the best? I love the piano because that was when I first started.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, so many things, this piano is just very beautiful.
Because that, right.
You know, you think about Europe, Beethoven and Bach and all them. Chopin is one of my favorites. Beautiful music on the piano that just is not possible on the organ.
Okay. You have a song, Plowed Fields. Is that something of your manifesto or mission statement when you were first coming out?
No, it's a true story. My mother and I were driving to Arkansas, and the car, I noticed there was a freshly plowed field. The dirt had been turned over, and it was getting ready to plant something. And I told my mother, I said, ooh. I said, the plowed field, that makes me want to walk in the dirt barefooted. And my mother said, not me. And I remember when I had soles tied around my feet.
Hmm.
I remember that. And then I had this instrument. Meant the melodica, a little mm-hmm. small piano looking big. When I got to our home, the grass at my great aunt's house had grown up, and you could hear the crickets day and night. And I was out there with my melodica. I changed the word when I was singing it to a harmonica. But
I thought you were saying melodica.
I may have said it on the record, but
uh-huh.
now I'm saying harmonica because
okay.
I bring a harmonica with me and play it when I do the song.
To go barefooted. Until my mother spoke of souls tied to her feet. Seeing the plowed fields. Plowed fields made me want to go barefooted. Until my mother spoke of souls tied to her feet. The weeds have grown, and now the crickets sing day and night in unison and harmony. Can these sounds be duplicated by some mere instrument of man? No, for I tried on my melodica. Seeing the plowed fields. Seeing the plowed fields made me want to go barefooted. Until my mother spoke of souls tied to her feet. Seeing the plowed fields. Plowed fields made me want to go barefooted. Until my mother spoke of souls tied to her feet. The weeds have grown, and now I'm seeing crickets sing day and night in unison. And and harmony. Can these sounds be duplicated by some mere instrument of man? No, for I tried on my melodica. To go barefooted until my mother spoke of souls tied to her feet. Seeing the plowed fields, seeing the plowed fields made me want to go barefooted. My mother spoke of souls tied to her feet. The weeds have grown, and now unseen crickets sing day and night in unison and harmony. Can these sounds be duplicated by some mere instrument of man? I tried on my harmonica.
I tried to capture some of the sounds of the cricket, and I couldn't do it. So that's how the song is called Plowed Fields Are Going Home. It's two titles. That's how that came about.
You had mentioned earlier that you play with Archie Shepp. I have one recording that you had done where two of your compositions are on there. It's All Right and...
Call Him.
Call Him, yes.
When you feel you need a friend, call on Jesus, he's with you till the end. friend. Call on Jesus, is with you till the end. When you're in doubt and you feel you have no way out, call on Jesus and show you what it's all about.
You know which one I'm talking about.
I'm just trying to remember because he's thinking of that call him too, isn't he?
Yes, exactly.
He's a very beautiful man. He's so knowledgeable about this history, this music. You know, he was teaching up at the University of Mass.
Oh, okay.
And he retired from there, but his knowledge on his music is incredible, and he's so beautiful.
How did you wind up working with him?
The first time I saw Archie was when I remember being downtown somewhere, and that's when he always wore a suit and a hat, day and night, and he was in his Japanese mode. You know, Mr. Chef, he was bowing. You know how they do in Japan.
Yes.
I tell him about that. He told me when I had come from Japan, because he was very polite. I said, you were bowing after every word. So I'm trying to think how I met Archie. This is awful. My memory is so short.
It's just been so long that you've worked together, huh?
I'm going to have to ask him. I hope to see him again in September. He's getting ready to do a Coltrane project.
Oh.
We just got back from Fez, Morocco.
Oh, wow.
With his group, and then he's doing Attica Blues, a remake of that album, 25-piece orchestra with strings.
Oh, wow.
And he arranged one of my compositions for strings that I'm doing on the CD.
You have a CD coming up?
I'm getting ready to mix it. I have a solo CD. It's I don't call them Negro spirituals, but that's what they are in honor of my ancestors. It's called Songs from My Soul, called Samaru. That's Warlock for my soul. And these are going to be songs from my soul, just solo piano and voice.
Okay.
And I hope it'll be out by the summer. Archie, I think I did about 3 records with him. I'm still trying to figure out how we met. I think it was promoted in Austria.
Okay.
I think.
Now, you said you're going to see him in September?
Hopefully, if things work out.
Oh, you're going to go there or?
There. I've worked with him here at Birdland. That's when John Hicks was alive.
Oh, man.
First, I worked with Archie, and then the second time he came, he featured me on a couple of members. John Hicks was the pianist, who was a very beautiful. Oh, he was so beautiful on piano and beautiful as a person. But that's the only time I worked with Archie here in the city. Most of it's in Europe.
Yeah, he's supposed to be in D.C. because he's receiving a jazz master.
Yes. He's trying to get me. I guess an invite or whatever, but I think they're still working on something. He's getting ready to be on it. I told him I'm going to try to make it there.
I hope to see him there. I hope to meet him as well, because he doesn't come to this country that much anymore.
No, he doesn't. No. He's just wonderful.
So your recording that you're mixing with the spirituals, I actually noticed during the 20th anniversary of the Vision Festival, you did several spirituals there, and many of your recordings you have spirituals on. I guess that's part of your life.
These spirituals, for instance, one of them is going to be Still Away. And I used to hate that song when I was little, because, you know, people still away.
Right.
You know, long and drawn out.
Still away. Generally now, the way it's sung in church, yeah.
I'm going to open up with that. I'm going to have a Muslim prayer.
Oh, wow.
In fact, Renee McLean is the only one going to do that prayer for me.
Wonderful.
While I'm singing Still Away, start off abstract, and he's going to be doing all of it. I have my son visiting me. He does his prayers, and I heard him singing his prayers, and I liked it. And then he showed me some more prayers on the internet. I heard a lot of prayers, but that one I said, because when the slaves came over here, they weren't allowed to worship God or nothing.
And they the way that they understood it, right.
Right, and that's it. They had to sneak away and pray.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm sure there were other slaves that were Muslims, that were the tribal religions or whatever.
Sure.
So I'm going to be singing it Still Away abstractly. playing it, and then I want the Muslim prayer to come in.
Nice.
To show that slaves were praying and singing and doing everything on the slide.
Sure.
And that's the way I want this whole CD to start off.
Nice.
So my husband, he was Muslim, he passed away, and I told him when I opened up a concert, I want him to come out and do an opening prayer, because he had a wonderful baritone bass voice.
Well, his nickname, I guess, was Dad or something? Or Pa? Or
Papa.
Papa, yes.
Oh, you read that?
I read it. I did my
homework.
Everybody
called him Papa. Everybody, I mean, one Mexican told him, "You're my black daddy."
Wow.
He had a lot of kids. I mean, the kids cry when they had to leave him. He had a special kind of spirit. All kind of people loved him. He worked in a winery store. The alcohol was coming there. Guy coming in all dirty, face dirty, clothes dirty. He said, "I'm not telling you nothing. Go home." "All right, Papa. All right, Papa." He had a way. All kind of women bringing him food and stuff. And they found out I ate fish. They bring me fish. Just all kinds of people drew to him because of his spirit. And he was regular like everybody. So I wanted him, but never got a chance because he passed away with asthma. So I never got a chance to use his voice. But he had a wonderful voice.
Wow.
You know, the music just goes on. Just try to keep things going.
Because it's easier, I guess, to do solo dates because it's you. And you know what you want to play. But when you decide these days to play with someone, is it generally because you've played with them before?
Well, I like to play with Jerome Harris and Reggie Nicholson.
Oh, okay.
But they're on three recordings, but when I'm touring, Reggie and I played, we've been playing together since the 80s.
Yes.
It's between Reggie and Thurman Barker.
Okay, on drums, right.
I call them number one and A.
Good.
Yes. Because they're both unique and different. Thurman has a whole different approach, but he's just as bad as Reggie. Reggie's just as bad as Thurman.
Thurman is on The Circle of Time.
Yes, he is.
And that particular
song,
could you tell me about that song, The Circle of Time? Because you're using an interesting vocal on there. It's sort of like Spanish and not quite.
Yeah.
slowly. Time moves by quickly. Time moves by slowly. Time moves by quickly. Il tempo si muove lentamente. Il tempo si muove dolcemente. Il tempo si muove lentamente. Il tempo si muove dolcemente.
Yeah. Oh, I'm speaking Italian.
Oh, that's okay. Yes.
Yeah,
I know it was a romantic language. I just, okay, yes. Italian,
yes.
Exactly.
I had the whole song written in Italian. I had Italian 3 and a promoter that helped me write it down correctly and everything. But I didn't have near enough to try to sing the whole song in Italian, but just those two last phrases.
Had you studied Italian, or this was just something you felt like doing?
I went to Italy a lot of times. Lester Bowie, and I was with the Lester Bowie group, New York Organ Ensemble, and the Lester Bowie Quintet.
Okay.
I've been in Italy at least about 15 times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and with other people and with myself. But I love the Italian language, and so I decided for some reason to add that to the circle of time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that. You also, one of your recordings, you do a tribute to Bessie Smith.
Yes, the producer from England. I was on a Leo record, and Leo suggested that because I had heard of Bessie Smith, but I had bought a Bessie Smith songbook and everything. And I realized her music, you could play it gospel, classical. It could be played all kind of ways. Her words relate to what's going on now.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. That and Jumping in the Sugar Bowl are two of the favorite CDs that still into play a lot.
And there are two compositions from you on the Bessie Smith one.
Yes. When I went to Africa, I went to Cape Town, South Africa with Archie and some of the people that brought some of my records. I could say got them in England or something to autograph. I did African Blues.
And the Blues Straight to You is the other one.
When I'm feeling blue, I know just what to do. I'll get on the phone and call home straight to you. And when I'm feeling bad and I'm feeling sad, oh, I know just what to do. I'll get on the phone and call home straight to you.
And you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. What you're listening to in the background is the Blues Straight to You. That's Amina Claudine Myers salutes Bessie Smith, 1996 Leo Records release. Amina Claudine Myers on voice, piano, organ, Cecil McBee on bass and Jimmy Lovelace on drums. Before that, we heard The Circle of Time. That is a 1984 Black Saint Records release. Amina Claudine Myers on piano, organ, vocals and harmonica. Don Pate on electric bass and contrabass. Thurman Barker on drums and percussion. Before that, we heard Call Him from the new Archie Shepp Quartet. The name of the release is Tomorrow Will Be Another Day, and that's a 2003 PAO, P-A-O, Records release. It's Archie Shepp on tenor and soprano sax, Amina Claudine Myers on piano and vocals. Archie Shepp was also sharing the vocal duties on this recording. Cameron Brown on bass, Ronnie Barrage on drums and wave drum. And before that, we heard Plowed Fields, also from The Circle of Time, the 1984 Black Saint Records release. And before that, we heard Keep on Lovin' from Amina, a 1988 BMG Novus release from Amina Claudine Myers. Stay tuned as we finish up the rest of our discussion with Amina Claudine Myers, and we really would like to thank Amina Claudine Myers for joining Sugar in My Bowl and sharing her story. And we look forward to her release in the spring. There's still more, so stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl continues.
Just what to do. I'll get on the phone and call home straight to you. And when I'm feeling bad and I'm feeling sad, oh, I know just what to do. I'll get on the phone and call home straight to you. Straight.
Yeah. Right. In Cape Town, I did a national anthem because I had played that with Charlie Hayden.
Okay.
When I was with the Liberation Orchestra.
Yes.
And then I threw in African blues in there.
Makonda, Ken McIntyre is on that one.
Oh,
too.
Yes. Makonda, he's a very nice man. See, you know, I taught school out there at University of SUNY out there at Westbury. I had the gospel choir out there.
Oh, okay.
But driving out there in that wreck of a car, I got 3 tickets one day.
Oh, my goodness.
This is in the evening class. So when I went, you know, the traffic was very heavy and the car broke down and stuff. But Makonda had put me on for the next year to teach a theory class along with the choir. But I couldn't do it. Mm. And I was beginning to go to Europe, too, you know, with Lester.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, I was working with Ain't Misbehaving before I went to Broadway.
Oh, okay.
You know, I taught Mel Carter and all them the songs with Andre this year. And then they were up on off-Broadway up at the Manhattan Theater somewhere on 77th Street. They were going to Broadway, and they asked me to go along. And I chose Europe because that was more into what I was wanting to do, you know, develop my thing and travel and do the work that I was creating.
One of the people that you played with recently also at the Vision Festival was Henry Grimes.
Yes.
How did you wind up making that happen?
With Marguerite.
Okay, Henry's wife.
She asked me to play with him at the Stone years ago, and I thought about it, so we reached an agreement pay-wise, and so I did that. So then they called me to do the thing with him at the Vision. I figured that must have been Margaret's suggestion.
Well, it was great at Vision. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, Henry, he's a beautiful man. Very beautiful.
I also read that you do sing. For anyone who doesn't know, you are a vocalist as well as a pianist, organist, and composer. And I understood that it was your first love, vocals. Is that true?
Well, I always played and sang. See, it first started off in the church playing them hymns and things, you know, and singing. But it's always been together.
Oh, okay. And I've noticed you also played with James Blood Ulmer, who's also a guest on the show.
Oh, one of my favorites. Blood.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you some stories about Blood, but I won't tell them to you over the phone. But Blood, he's so beautiful.
He is. He is. And he has a great sense of humor.
What's wrong, darling? That's what Blood, you told me, we'll just take it easy. Just relax. Just relax. Everything is all right. I said, yeah, but Blood, but you told me, just relax, darling. Now, I learned how to play the blues. After all those years, we had a gig, just me, him, and Bigfoot, who played with George Clinton down at the Minion Factory. That's something Blood was doing. And Blood came here to the house with his guitar. We practiced here at the house. And I was having trouble with the feel of the one, on the one. And Blood was talking to me about on the one. And finally, I caught on to the feeling. I said, yeah, this is what playing the blues is all about. Because, you know, he's a master with that blues, man.
Right.
He does all that other stuff with Arnett, with Blood. I said, you up here with Johnny Hooker and Blood.
Do you have any dates coming up?
Hopefully, the record will be out and be released by the summer. I'll make sure you get one.
Okay.
Nothing here.
Well, we have the recording to look forward to. Hopefully, later in the spring?
Yes. I'm getting ready to go mix that in a couple of weeks.
Excellent.
It'll be back production.
Okay.
Myers, Amina C Records. Disc Makers are going to do the artwork that they did on my double CD self-promoted promotional called Augmented Variations. It's a solo piano, which was done in the studio. Then it's my voice quartet, which was performed over in Paris. And then it's the organ trio, which was performed in Germany and Austria.
Oh, it was released in 2009.
But I hope to have this ready by spring.
By the way, does the industry of releasing music, is it different for you now that you're doing it by yourself? Does it seem different?
Well, the industry, most of my records were independent, done over in Europe. But for when I was on RCA Novus, I thought being with a big company like that would push my records more and get more exposure. But I found out that I was just a write-off and didn't get the exposure and stuff that I needed. There was someone in the company that tried to help me, but they were no longer in the company. And there's just nothing happened with those. And with my own production, I just try to get them out there through the radio stations, the stores get them. And then I just sell them at concerts. That seems to be the way of self-promotion now, unless you're one of those large artists.
Right.
Other than that, it's slow and it's not easy.
And as far as finding performance dates, do you have, like, regular venues that you are in line with?
Well, I was at the Dizzy's. That was a nice place. The man at Dizzy's expressed interest. When he left, the Iridium expressed interest. They changed. First of all, the club owners, from the way I see it, they have to like you, and you have to fit in their sound. They have a certain sound they want, and if you don't fit into that category, then you won't be hired. Or else if you do, some clubs, they don't want to pay correctly, or they can't pay, and so it's a difficult scene.
Well, hopefully when your latest release is released and it gets out there, that people will snap it up and we'll be able to see you more live.
Thank you. I said, man, it may not be a calling for this CD, but this is something I want to do because, I mean, I always like to go forward in the music, but I like to honor this music that's been put out. Steal away my soul's been anchored by the Lord. Some sadness like mother's child, nobody knows trouble. I see those are songs that are still relevant, showing the trials and tribulations that our forefathers went through for us to be where we are today. And I just wanted to give honor to that.
Are you going
to
be playing piano and organ on this record?
No, just piano.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Amina Claudine Myers, for joining Sugar and My Bowl. I really appreciate all the time that you've spent with us. Thank
you're
you.
You're quite welcome. Thank you so much.
Have a good night.
You're quite welcome. Bye.
And you're listening to the closing moments of Sugar in My Bowl. My name is Joyce Jones, and our guest for this evening was Amina Claudine Myers. What you're listening to right now is James Blood Ulmer, Pull Up On to Love from Blue Blood. That's a 2001 Interrhythmic release. James Blood Ulmer, a former Sugar guest. Stay tuned for La Nueva Alternativa coming up next, and more on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
Hello. Bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.